Exodus chapter 28, we'll read the first four verses together. But first, let's just ask the Lord for that sweet, sweet presence that we just heard played there on the instruments to really take forth the Word of God tonight into our hearts. We do thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence. Lord, we cannot put a value on what we've already experienced and felt here tonight, Lord. Just to know that the God of the universe is here with us and letting his presence be felt and known. We worship you, Lord. We worship you with all of our hearts. We thank you, Lord. We're a privileged people, Lord God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we ask for ministering liberty tonight in the house of God and for the freedom for the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God in liberty from these lips and from my spirit, Lord God. And may it arrive in hearts that are bounding in hunger for the word of God, Lord. We just claim a victory tonight, Lord, as we look into the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Establish thy truth in our hearts tonight in Jesus' mighty name. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for the liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blanket and cover this place with your spirit, O God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's look at these first four verses. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his son, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. The setting for this text here in Exodus chapter 28 was at Mount Sinai at the time the children of Israel were building the tabernacle. They had been brought out of Egypt. They were building the tabernacle, and now they needed some priests to lead in their worship. And at this particular time, God called the family of Aaron to serve as priests. The priestly garments are listed in verse 4, and I'll read them one more time. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. They shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, to clarify the purpose for this study, let me say this, that every one of us as New Testament believers in Jesus Christ are called to be priests unto God. And each and every one of these particular pieces or parts of the priestly garment become a description of a quality that we need in our spirits in order to function as a priest before God. There are certain particular things that the Holy Spirit wants to put upon our spirits to prepare us for ministry before God. And so we study these particular parts of the priestly garment here in Exodus chapter 28, that we might learn the counterpart or the truth that they hold for us in the realm of the Spirit. In the book of Revelation, Chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says that we are made kings and priests unto God. Oh, we take these truths so lightly. These are great realities, people. You should hardly be able to stay in your seat when I say you are called to be a priest and a king. Hallelujah. Oh, this has got a hold of me. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and he hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. Brother, we're getting prepared for the future. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is our calling. We are lively stones. We're not dead stones, brother. We're alive. Something's got a hold of us. Hallelujah. We're being built up a spiritual house. That's the purpose of this study, that we might be built up a spiritual house. Some of you people will lay hold of some truth tonight that the Holy Spirit, for the first time in your life, will be able to bring into your spirit some qualities of the high priesthood that you should be serving in today. When you contact truth, truth will set you free. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Brother, that's an outstanding priesthood, a royal priesthood. That means a glorious priesthood, a shining priesthood, a pure priesthood. It means a spotless priesthood. Jesus said he's coming for a people without spot, without wrinkle. Now, Brother Ken has made a drawing for us of the high priest in his garments. And I just know it's going to be a great help in this study. And I'm just going to try to, if we turn the lights out and try to conduct the rest of this teaching with me having a little light here and you just letting it sink into your spirit, I believe would be the best way to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, three particular times in the four verses that we read in Exodus chapter 28, we read this phrase, that he may minister unto me. That he may minister unto me. As priests, we are to be his hand extended in the earth. And there's a truth here which I believe we sometimes overlook, that as we are ministering, we are ministering unto God. You might say, no, I'm ministering unto that poor criminal that's in the jail. Not really. You're ministering beyond him. You're ministering to God. Your priesthood is a ministry first and foremost unto God. Let me read a scripture to you that clearly reveals this. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I needed clothing, and you clothed me. I was sick in the hospital, and you visited me. I was in jail, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, and did we feed you? And when did we see you thirsty, and give you to drink? And when, Lord, did we see you a stranger, and took you in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or, Lord, when did we see you sick, and call on you in prison? And the king shall answer and say unto them, listen to this now, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. When you go do something in this realm, in your function as a priest, you are ministering unto God. You might think you're helping some poor brother and sister, but God says that person was created in my image and likeness, and my heart is wrapped up in every one of my creatures. And when you come to help them and minister as a priest, you are ministering unto me. You came to the jail and you ministered unto me. You took somebody into your house and you put me into your house. This is your priestly ministry. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it takes on a new flavor when you know you're doing it unto him. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, this ministry of being priests unto God, it's a serious business. And I believe that each and every one of us need to realize the divine purpose for which we have been saved. I am almost certain that there's not a week will go by in any of our lives but what we will have an opportunity to function as a priest in one of the areas that I just read there in Matthew chapter 25. Every one of us are a priest. Jesus said even a cup of water that's offered and given in a heart of love is not going to be forgotten. You've given it unto me. Are you aware of the great purpose of God in your life? Let me share with you a couple scriptures here from the book of Hebrews. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, we're partakers of a heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, even Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm unto the end. The writer of Hebrews then, after exhorting us, that we have a priestly ministry, a function to perform in this earth. He says this, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as the children of Israel did in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Even though they were the people of God, the writer of Hebrews said, they missed the greatest part of their calling. And I wonder if we're not being exhorted strongly here tonight from the New Testament, here in Hebrews chapter 3, that we can do the very same thing if we don't, after salvation, accept the priestly garments that the Lord wants to put upon us so we can function as priests. Hallelujah. You have absolutely no right to take care of yourself and to not minister as a priest. You are guilty before God if you are backslidden and taking more time in television and newspapers and things like that than you're willing to give to God. It's a serious business. Don't provoke me to anger, saith the Lord. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How can you really do this? You could be saved, but you could just reject the ministry that he has for you. You are a priest. You've been called to be a priest. And there's a place for every one of us. There's plenty of people that have needs in the realm that we read of. And we're priests unto God. For every priest taken from men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. You are ordained of God in a ministry pertaining to men, that you may have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. For the one that is encompassed in infirmity, it's our ministry. If we don't go to them, nobody will go to them. If we don't tell that one that's brought across our pathway, chances are nobody will tell them, because it's our ministry. Oh, I just trust that God will give Brother Bob a new understanding, and each and every one of you, the purpose that I'm still alive and here on earth. Now, it's interesting to note that the family of Aaron, who were chosen as the priestly family, they were of the tribe of Levi. And it was the tribe of Levi, or the Levites, who stood faithful to God when the children of Israel rebelled there at Mount Sinai. And so because of the stand that they took, the strong stand that they took, they were chosen to be used in a priestly ministry. And the word Levi in Hebrew means adhesion. And I like that, because I'm thrilled at what I'm seeing in so many lives here at Faith Bible Chapel. Man, I saw it among the men here last night. It was thrilling to see it. Brother, a lot of those guys are just getting glued to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They're going to be used of God. I want to be among that people that are glued to God, don't you? Hallelujah. Now, the name Aaron, and he was chosen to be high priest, means enlightened and bright. That's what God wanted to do for Aaron. Enlighten him. Make him bright. Make him to shine and sparkle with the presence of God. Aaron's four sons were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And their names in Hebrew mean liberal, God is father, God hath helped me, prosperity. God wants his people, if they'll put him first, to prosper. And there's no question about it. He establishes that right in the beginning. God intended that these men would be the head and not the tail. Praise God. In studying this particular subject of the priesthood, we find that there were many priests who served under the Aaronic priesthood. But there was only one high priest at a time. One succeeded the other. But in the Word of God, there is only one great high priest that we ever see. Many priests, one high priest, but only one great high priest. You know who that is? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that he has a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His priesthood is called after the order of Melchizedek, which means no beginning and no ending. I'm glad that Jesus Christ didn't have a beginning. I'm glad that from the beginning he stood right beside the Father. Praise God. He was with the Father in the beginning, a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And people, the thing that should thrill our hearts tonight is, as God's redeemed children, as we step into this priesthood, we're not stepping into a temporary priesthood. We're stepping into a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, a never-ending priesthood, praise God, which will go on forever and 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 forever, hallelujah, and as many times as you can keep saying it. Oh, can't you praise the Lord? Let's lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 There was no way that they could take that priesthood away from Jesus. When he made himself of no reputation, he humbled himself. He came to this earth, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was found in fashion as a man. Even after they stripped him of every garment that he had, every earthly garment that he had, and nailed him to the cross, he still triumphed. Because his priesthood wasn't in a piece of material, it was in his spirit, and they couldn't take it away from him. He was a priest forever, in the ages past and in the ages to come, and he triumphed. Because he's our great high priest. This is the priesthood that we are called unto, to be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In verse 2 in Exodus chapter 28, we read that these garments were holy garments. And I've often had people ask me the question, Brother Bob, what does it mean when it says in the scripture that without holiness we'll not see God? I believe we get a picture of it as we study the priesthood. You can be saved without yielding your life to further ministry in the Holy Spirit, and you can reject a priestly ministry. But it was the priest, the great high priest, who alone could go in on the Day of Atonement, and he alone, with those priestly garments, with a means of a blood sacrifice, could go in and stand before God. None of the other people could go in. There were several parts to the tabernacle. And I'm convinced that the Bible teaches that there are many that will never enter into this realm that the Bible's talking about. Without holiness, we'll not see him. You'll not see him as a priest, as a functioning priest, if you don't yield your life and receive those priestly garments that the Holy Spirit wants to put on you now. I believe you'll miss that realm of ministry. Absolutely, I believe the Bible teaches that. Doesn't mean you can't be saved. But the Bible says that in eternity there will be some like the moon, naked of any garments, any shining, glittering garments, saved so as by fire, but not priests. Holiness is an essential. Now this verse also says that these garments were for glory and beauty. The Hebrew word for glory, this really thrilled me when I looked this up. It means to make one heavy and weighed down with good things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've experienced what it is to be weighed down with burdens. To be burdened with burdens. But how would you like to be weighed down with good things? Oh, hallelujah. In other words, as a priest, God wants to weigh you down with all the good things you can possibly carry. And also for beauty. Hallelujah. This Hebrew word for beauty means to gleam, to be comely, to shine. And doesn't it say that those that win souls, who are really priests for God, will shine like the stars forever and ever? 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Those who have entered into a priestly ministry, some will shine like the stars, Paul says. I mean, they're going to have a garment, a spiritual garment throughout eternity. It's a beautiful picture. So then these garments were to be holy garments. They were for glory. They were for beauty. We don't automatically become priests at salvation. We become children of God. These garments must be put on as we mature and grow in Christ. Paul says our weapons or our garments are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Not the type of clothing that I can wear or you can wear, but it's what's in your spirit that counts. It's what's in my spirit that counts. My earthly title means nothing. You could call me a pastor and it might mean nothing to God. What am I in the spirit? What are you in the spirit? Now the Holy Spirit, and I want to encourage you with this, will do the work of setting us apart unto holiness and of putting on the garments of glory and beauty. He'll build these qualities into our spirits if we'll just cooperate, if we'll just work with Him, if we'll begin to function and take advantage of our opportunities. Now, to save time, I don't believe I'll read from the 8th chapter of Leviticus, but in the 8th chapter of Leviticus, we find the order in which a priest would dress and he would put the garments on. Naturally, he would start with the undergarments. And we find that order in the 8th chapter of Leviticus. Now, the first garment that is mentioned is what is called the coat, which is an undergarment. Pure white linen undergarment. You can see it stretching on the arms, the outer part of the arms, clear down to the feet. The bonnet's the same material. Now this coat, along with the two pieces of undergarment, which naturally we don't see, which would correspond to a man's shorts and his t-shirt. In the Bible, it's called a girdle, his breeches. He's got those two on, a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, pure white. Then he's got the coat. And the fourth pure white item is the bonnet. Those four seem to go together. Now, these four garments were worn by all of the priests, Aaron's sons. But the other items that are in color were only worn by the high priest as he would go in before the Lord on the Day of Atonement. And I thought we would take just this first part tonight, the coat. Here's what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 28, verse 39, nine words concerning this garment. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen. Then in Exodus 39, 27, and they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons. Now the emphasis, as I understand it here, is twofold. On the material, which was pure white, and on the fact that there was embroidery in all of these garments. Now, to the people there at Mount Sinai, when they would see Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar, these sons of Aaron functioning as priests, the coat and, of course, the undergarments were the same color, might have looked quite ordinary to them from a distance, not really stand out at all, especially in contrast to the beautiful colors of the rest of the garment. But on a closer examination, there was great skill and beauty involved in these undergarments, and there's a great lesson for us. The root word for embroider gives us the same idea as in our modern damask, that type of a piece of fabric where the embroidery is not on the material, but it's just a part of the material. Expert, skillful craftsmanship, where it's just a part of the material, very expensive material. Now, to me, it's so apparent that this is the way that the world looks at Jesus Christ. And they look at us as Christians. Many take a casual look at Jesus of Nazareth, and they see a good man, but not much else. But begin to study his character. Begin to study the Sermon on the Mount. Begin to see his good works. Begin to meditate upon his words. Here is no ordinary man. The divine life of God was worked into the very human framework of Jesus Christ, to where he could be called Emmanuel, God in man. The two perfectly woven together, not one embroidered on the other, but they became one, hallelujah, embroidered and knitted and stitched together. How did it come about? It was a process of knitting, a process of needlework. It took some time. Even the Son of God, it said he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And after suffering, he was made perfect. And only after he suffered and learned obedience could he go to the cross, the Bible says, and pay the eternal price for our salvation. Sure, he was worked over. He was worked over by the devil. He was worked over by men. He was worked over by people in his own community. He was worked over on the job. Everywhere he was worked over. And all the time the Father was working that quality into the human framework of a man, a carpenter's son from Galilee named Jesus. And he became Emmanuel, our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Yes, take a closer look at the life of Jesus. A closer look. Hallelujah. And my encouragement to you, if you're finding yourself learning obedience by the things that you're suffering, is that you are yielding to the needlework of the Holy Spirit. He just doesn't want to impart something to you and just lay it on you and give it to you. No, he wants to knit it, embroider it right into your spirit. Hallelujah. That's what he's doing in our life. That's why we go through conflict in the home, out of the home, on the job, wherever we are, learning obedience, the Holy Spirit, knitting divine qualities. Sometimes I think I can feel that needle at work. Hallelujah. Then it's not just a garment that God wants to put on you, as Aaron had, but it's a garment, a spiritual garment, a part of your very spirit that's being worked into your spirit moment by moment and day by day as you desire to be a priest, as you're not afraid of hard circumstances, as you realize there's a purpose for conflict. Three more words in Exodus chapter 28 concerning those four white garments. The Bible says that they are of fine linen. We are told that the fine linen of that day came from the Egyptians. It was pure white, comparable in quality to the finest silk and better. Nobody can duplicate and make, even in this day with all of our modern methods, fine linen like the Egyptians could make. It was very fine in texture. Just can't be duplicated. When John saw Jesus and described him for us, those beautiful words in the book of Revelation, the first thing he said about him, he was clothed with this white garment down to the foot. That's the first thing that he saw. That's where it starts. It speaks to me of the perfect, flawless, sinless life that Jesus Christ lived. Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Pilate's wife said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Judas, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." The thief on the cross said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." The centurion, "Certainly this was a righteous man." God the Father, his testimony is the most important. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why was he well pleased? Because, man, he brought this priesthood down from the highest part of heaven down to the level of men, so we can understand it and see it in action and have an opportunity to share in it. No wonder God said, "I am well pleased." He was in all points tempted, like as we are, and yet without sin. Hallelujah. Now, just another point or two in closing tonight. The root meaning for the Hebrew word for coat, long white garment, means to cover and to hide. We find this word, for instance, in Genesis, the third chapter, when the Bible speaks of God taking coats of skin and clothing, hiding or covering is what it was for Adam, Eve, after their sin. Adam and Eve were just like sinners today. They tried to run and hide from God and cover their sin their own way with their own leaves and so forth. But God, in his mercy, called to them and he revealed his plan of salvation when he brought an animal sacrifice and he clothed them his way for the purpose of covering and hiding their sins. Not only does this garment become the first one that we need to put on, but we need to see that it covers, hides all of our sins. And it also typifies with all that beautiful embroidery the qualities that the Holy Spirit has been able to build into our spirits. And it will never be a fast process. It's a slow process, and you have to be encouraged daily that there's a purpose in the things that God asks you to go through, because only then can that embroidery work, that needlework, be done. Take out the old threads and put in new threads. They talk about double knit suits and double knit clothes today. God knew how to double knit long time before we ever had it. Hallelujah!
Glory to God.
Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 19, we're told about the garments of the bride of Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it said she is clothed with fine linen. Fine linen, white and clean. That speaks more of more than just your salvation. If you get up close to many of your brothers and sisters, don't see them after the flesh and see them after the spirit, you'll see God doing a spiritual knitting job in their spirits. That's what's going on in our spirits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll be clothed in fine linen. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they obviously brought this linen with them. And I'm going to close with this thought. You know, the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. They took the riches of Egypt with them. And maybe today, the devil has convinced you through what's happened to you in the world that you failed. Maybe he's give you a bad time. But here's the picture that I get. All these tribulations which we have in the world you have tribulation, are a blessing in disguise. Because it's the world. It's our Egypt that's going to have to provide our clothing. You know how this happens? And I used to have a temper. I can fly off the handle quick. An undelivered spirit. And I've run into many situations since God called and began to deal with me 12 years ago, where this thing wanted to begin to fly out. And gradually I began to recognize my call, the purpose of God on my life. And I began to eat the Holy Spirit in my spirit. An eternal part of my being. Pull that spiritual thread of temper out of me and replace it with his thread. The glory is in there. How do you know it's in there? Because I've got victory in that area of my life. I know it's in there. Hallelujah. And the world provides it for me. Brothers, they prove it to me, I got it. Every time they come against me and I normally fly off the handle, I don't. Praise God, they took my linen. They provided the circumstances that the Holy Spirit could do a work in my life. Hallelujah. Some of my biggest battles have come from Christians. And I've never understood why God let them come against me so fiercely, or they bugged me so much.
But I just thank God for what I finally learned. Brother, they've done something for me. Hallelujah. That person has done something for me. I've learned to love my enemies, bless them that curse me, do good to them that hate me, and pray for them that despitefully use me and persecute me. I could never have done that 12 years ago, but I can do it now with Peter's brother. I couldn't take $1 billion for that knitting work that's been done in my spirit, hallelujah. And you have to know what he's done for you.